The topic I've chosen to preach on this morning doesn't matter to our salvation, how we believe on this. I want to preach on something that isn't normally preached on, at least in recent years. That's heaven and hell. It may matter, this topic may matter on our peace of mind for those loved ones that have passed on, or even those loved ones of the present who have not accepted the gospel. It may matter in our attitude towards the gospel and what we know is required of us. You know, it's commonly taught in the Christian world today that those that are good go to heaven and those that are bad go to hell. And they define hell as a never-ending punishment. But the scriptures, I believe, teaches that mankind cannot be divided into just two classes. People are not just really good or just really bad. In between, there is a whole spectrum of different degrees of goodness and badness. And if that's true, where is the dividing line between good and bad? It's commonly taught that those that believe in Christ go to heaven, and those that don't believe go to hell. But in James 2:19, we're told that the devils believe, and they tremble. Let's also consider an argument, the murderer. The ones who commits murder, who accepts Christ before he dies. Will that murderer go to heaven and enjoy all the benefits of that are to be enjoyed there, while the one he killed may have lost the opportunity to know Christ, to accept Christ, because he was taken from this life before he had that chance? Does that man that was murdered have to spend eternal life in hell? These are some arguments we really need to consider. The church, one quote used by the churches of the world is Mark 16:16, that says, if I can find it, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. But in Romans, the 14th chapter, it says, in the 11th verse of the 14th chapter, it says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Again in Philippians, in the 2nd chapter, it says, in verse 10 and 11, it says that the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess Now, that doesn't mean, in my mind at least, that every soul will be saved. But it only means that all will confess Christ and know that their sentence is just. John 14, and verses 2 and 3, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." It sounds like that place had not been previously prepared. He was to go there and prepare it. You know, Paul said in one of his writings that he knew a man that was caught up to the third heaven. That's more than one, isn't it? Christ, in speaking to his sheep in Matthew 25, verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the angels, the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now, why should they get this reward? It goes on and tells us that they've done these works of feeding and clothing and helping and visiting and so on. But who does it say they did these things to and for? It says in verse 40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." The brethren. That's another group, isn't it? I count three distinct classes there. The brethren, or the disciples of Christ, being one. The sheep, who are the good people of the earth. And the goats. You know, his disciples would have known about and looked forward and expected the reward. Don't we read about that? Don't we know that there is a reward for us? The disciples know that. The good people of the earth may not. Those who are the sheep. There is a place in heaven prepared for those who have done good, I believe, even though they were not followers of Christ. And that is a different degree of reward. You know, this idea right here was one that convinced many of the early church, of the early saints, of the truthfulness of this gospel. It gave them hope for their loved ones, like I said, that did not know the gospel, that did not accept gospel. Those who had passed on, they knew they were good people, but they just couldn't reconcile the idea that the preachers of that day were preaching that they had to go to hell. First Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Paul wrote here, verses 40 and 41 says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, and one star differeth from another star in glory. Going back to verse 23 in that same chapter, 22, it says, for in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. They haven't all accepted in this lifetime. When did the church stop teaching this, I wonder? And why? I know that this book is questioned a great deal, and many find it very hard to use this Doctrine and Covenants. And I believe there is much in here that is man's. But I want to turn to the 76th section of the Doctrine and Covenants and read some here. You need to be the judge in your own mind of whether this is true or not. I feel that there's some things in even in this particular chapter that are hard for me to believe and realize to be true, but I think there are parts here. I'm going to read those parts that and skip over some things, and not everything I skip over is necessarily out of line, but man may have had his hand in even the revelations, and we know that there was some changing here. Starting in verse 5, it says here, and again we bear record, and for we saw and heard, and this is the testimony of the gospel of Christ concerning them who come forth in the resurrection of the just. They are they who received the testimony of Jesus and believed on his name and were baptized after the manner of his burial, being buried in the water in his name. And this according to the commandment which he has given, that by keeping the commandments they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of the hands of him who is ordained and sealed unto this power, and who overcome by faith and are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which the Father sheds forth upon all those who are just and true. They are they who are the church of the firstborn. They are they unto whose hands the Father has given all things. Skipping a few words down, it says, they are Christ's, and Christ is God's, and they shall overcome all things. Wherefore, let no man glory in man, but rather let him glory in God, who shall subdue all enemies under his feet. These shall dwell in the presence of God and his Christ forever and ever. These are they whom he shall bring with him when he shall come in the clouds of heaven to reign on the earth over his people. These are they that have part in the first resurrection. These are they who shall come forth in the resurrection of the just. These are they who are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly place, the holiest of all. These are they who come to an innumerable company of angels. And skipping on down here a little bit. These are they whose names were written in heaven, where God and Christ are the judge of all. These are they who are just men made perfect through Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, who wrought out the perfect atonement through the shedding of his own blood. These are they whose bodies are celestial, whose glory is that of the Son, even the glory of God, the highest of all. Whose glory, the Son of the filament, is written as being typical. This is the highest glory. This is the glory we should strive to obtain. In verse 6, chapter 6, it says, "And again, we saw the terrestrial world, and behold, and lo, these are they who are of the terrestrial, whose glory differ from the church of the firstborn." A second group of people, see, who have received the fullness of the Father, even as that of the moon differs from the sun of the firmament. Behold, these are they who died without law, and also they who are the spirits of men kept in prison, whom the Son visited. We'll get into more on that a little bit later. And preached the gospel unto them, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, who received not the testimony of Jesus in the flesh, but afterwards received it. These are they who are the honorable men of the earth, who were blinded by the craftiness of men. These are they who received of his glory, but not of his fullness. These are they who received of the presence of the Son, but not of the fullness of the Father. Wherefore, they are bodies terrestrial, and not bodies celestial, and differ in glory as the moon differs from the sun. These are they who are not valiant in the testimony of Jesus. Therefore, they obtain not the crown over the kingdom of our God. And now this is the end of the vision which we saw of the terrestrial, that the Lord commanded us to write while we were yet in the Spirit. And again, we saw the glory of the telestial, which glory is that of the lesser, even as the glory of the stars differ from the glory of the moon and the firmament. These are they who received not the gospel of Christ, neither the testimony of Jesus. These are they who deny not the Holy Spirit. These are they who are thrust down to hell. These are they who shall not be redeemed from the devil until the last resurrection, until the Lord, even Christ, the Lamb, shall have finished his work. Skipping down a little ways. And the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the sun is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is one, even as the glory of the moon is one. And the glory of the telestial is one, even as the glory of the stars is one. For as one star differs from another star in glory, even so differs one from another in glory in the telestial world. John, in Revelations 20, verses 12 and 13 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things. The dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. It is evident that all men will not accomplish the same amount of good in this lifetime. Hence, they are to be judged accordingly. Let me give you an example. If a judge had two cases brought before him to trial, one a murderer who for worldly gain took somebody else's life, the other a poor woman, sick and out of work, who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her hungry children. The judge tried both cases and pronounced a sentence of life imprisonment on both. This wouldn't be inconsistent. This wouldn't be consistent with the idea of according to their works. Yet this is what much of the religious world would have us believe that Christ will do. Christ's mission was here to save mankind. If you read in Isaiah 5, starting with verse 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and the God of glory shall be sanctified in righteousness. If Christ's mission was to save all mankind, and if you consider the number of people who have not accepted Christ and the reasons for the border of hell to be enlarged, then you'd have to consider Christ a failure. But Timothy 4:10 tells us that Christ is the Savior of all men. So Christ's mission may need to go just a little deeper than saving those who accept him in this life. First John 3:8. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 2 Nephi, page 106, starting with verse 24. Says, oh, how great the goodness of our God, who prepareth a way for our escape from the grasp of this awful monster. Yea, that monster, death and hell, which I call the death of the body and also the death of the spirit. And because of the way of deliverance of our God, the Holy One of Israel, this death which I have spoken, which is temporal, shall deliver up its dead, which death is the grave. And this death which of which I have spoken, which is the spiritual death, shall deliver up its dead, which spiritual death is hell. Wherefore, death and hell must deliver up their dead, and hell must deliver up its captive spirits, those who are captured in hell. And the grave must deliver up its captive bodies, and the bodies and the spirits of men will be restored one to the other. And it is by the power of the resurrection of the Holy One of Israel. Oh, how great the plan of our God! For on the other hand, the paradise of God must deliver up the spirits of the righteous, and the grave deliver up the body of the righteous. And the spirit and the body is restored again, restored to itself again, and all men become incorruptible and immortal, and they are living souls, having a perfect knowledge, like unto us in the flesh, save it be that our knowledge shall be perfect. Hold your place there. I want to come back to that. I want to turn to the 17th chapter of Alma just a minute. In the 17th chapter of Alma, starting with verse 10, it tells about Alma's conversion. It says, I'll start back at 9. And the angel spake more things unto me which were heard by my brethren, but I did not hear them. For when I heard the words, if thou wilt not be destroyed of thyself, seek no more to destroy the church of God, I was struck with such great fear and amazement, lest perhaps I should be destroyed, that I fell to the earth, and I did hear no more. And here's his experience. But I was racked with eternal torment, for my soul was hard up to the greatest degree and racked with all my sins. Yea, I did remember all my sins and iniquities, for which I was tormented with the pains of hell. I think this is a little bit about what hell would be like. A remembrance of these sins and the torment of remembering them. Yea, I saw that I had rebelled against my God, and that I had not kept his holy commandments. Yea, and I had murdered many of his children, or rather led them away unto destruction. Yea, and in fine, so great had been my iniquities, that the very thought of coming into the presence of my God did rack my soul with inexpressible horror. Oh, thought I, that I could be banished and become extinct both soul and body, that I might not be brought to stand in the presence of my God to be judged of my deeds. And now for 3 days and 3 nights was I racked, even with the pains of a damned soul. And it came to pass that as I was racked thus with torment, while I was harrowed up by the memory of my many sins, behold, I remembered also to have heard my father prophesy unto the people concerning the coming of one Jesus Christ, a Son of God, to atone for the sins of the world. And as my mind caught hold upon this thought, I cried within my heart, O Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me who are in the gall of bitterness and are encircled about with the everlasting chains of death. And now, behold, when I thought this, I could remember my pains no more. Yea, I was harrowed up by the memory of my sins no more. And oh, what joy, and what marvelous light did I behold. Yea, my soul was filled with joy as exceeding as was my pain. Yea, I say unto you, my son, that there could be nothing so exquisite and so bitter as were my pains. Verse 33 in 2 sixth chapter of 2 Nephi. Save it be there, our knowledge shall be perfect. We'll know all of our sins. Wherefore we shall have a perfect knowledge of all our guilt and our uncleanliness and our nakedness. And the righteous shall have a perfect knowledge of their enjoyment and their righteousness, being clothed with purity, yea, even with the robe of righteousness. And it shall come to pass that when all men shall have passed from this first life unto death, insomuch as they have become immortal, they must appear before the judgment seat of the Holy One of Israel. And then cometh the judgment, and then must they be judged according to the holy judgment of God. And assuredly, as the Lord liveth, for the Lord God hath spoken it, that it is his eternal word, which cannot pass away, that they who are righteous shall be righteous still, and they who are filthy shall be filthy still. Wherefore, they who are filthy are the devil and his angels. And may I add, those who have committed the unpardonable sin. Only those. The unpardonable sin is the denial of the Holy Ghost once it has residence in us. And they shall go away into everlasting fire prepared for them, and their torment is the lake of fire and brimstone, whose flames ascendeth up forever and ever and has no end. Oh, the greatness and the justice of our God, for he executeth all his words, and they have gone forth out of his mouth, and his law must be fulfilled. Excuse me. So what is hell then? Hell is a teaching place. And I believe that different people will need a different amount of teaching. Isaiah, 24th chapter. And verse 21 and 22, it says, And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and they shall be shut up in prison. I want you to realize, I think this pit, this prison, are synonymous with hell. And after many days, it says, they shall be visited. And I understand there is one of the versions of the Bible has interpreted that word visited as saved. After many days they shall be saved. Turn to Isaiah 61. The first verse says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." The 49th chapter of Isaiah, verses 8 and 9 says, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, and cause to inherit, caused to inherit the desolate heritage, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. In the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, along with the same thought, it says in the 6th and 7th verse, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and I will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Oh, these scriptures here in Isaiah, we can rationalize and say, well, he's talking about people in this life that are held prisoner by the teachings of the devil and so on. And it could be, I think he's talking about those who are actually prisoners in the prison house. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verses 18 through 20, it says, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Says he went there. And the only reason he would go there, in my mind at least, is not to laugh at them or in any way ridicule them for being consigned to that awful place. But the only reason he would go there is to tell them the right way so that they would know and that they can be saved. Ephesians, 4th chapter, verses 9 and 10, it says, Now he that ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Christ had no sin. The only reason he had to go there was to save souls out of it. 1 Peter. Fourth chapter. Verse 6 says, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Oh, there's a lot more scriptures I could point out that indicate the same thing, that there is not a second chance, as some are saying that would be, but there is a chance for all to know God. Back to the Doctrine and Covenants. And to 76 section again, section 76. I'm going to read just a little bit more here in the 4th verse. It says, Thus saith the Lord concerning all those who know my power and have been made partakers thereof, and suffered themselves through the power of the devil to be overcome, and to deny the truth, and to deny my power. They are they who are the sons of perdition, of whom I say it had been better for them never to have been born, for they are the vessels of wrath, doomed to suffer the wrath of God with the devil and his angels in eternity, concerning whom I have said, there is no forgiveness in this world, nor in the world to come, having denied the Holy Spirit after having received it, and having denied the only begotten Son of the Father, having crucified him unto themselves and put him to an open shame, these are they who shall go away into the lake of fire and brimstone with the devil and his angels. And this is a different place than hell. This is not hell. This is beyond hell. And the only ones on whom the second death will have any power. Yea, verily, the only ones who shall not be redeemed in due time of the Lord after the sufferings of his wrath, for all the rest shall be brought forth by the resurrection of the dead through the triumph and the glory of the Lamb who was slain, who was in the bosom of the Father before the worlds were made. I think that's enough there. There's more that I could go on to there too. As I said at the start, I don't think how you believe on this topic will matter to your salvation. But the understanding may matter to you on how you accept the fact that many of your loved ones who have gone on before have not accepted this gospel, who have not been baptized. There is opportunity for them. There's one more point I want to make. I don't want us to think, just because we, most of us here, have been baptized, that we have it made. I'm sure that young Alma, not positive, but I'm pretty sure that young Alma had been baptized before he went about to destroy the works of the church. Yet he had to suffer the pains of hell. He had to suffer those things. And if we don't work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we may have to suffer in that condition also. And if we do, I think what I've read here indicates that we cannot receive the highest glory. I want to turn to the 12th chapter of Luke. And read verses 42 through 48. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware. And he will cut him asunder and will appoint him with his portion with the unbeliever. And that servant which knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. For he knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes. For But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. We are a people who know more. We have more required of us. We have a great responsibility. If the believer must go to hell, will they all burn in the lake of fire and brimstone until Christ comes to take them out? No. Hell is the prison house in which the captive spirits are confined between death and the resurrection. It's a separate part from the hell spoken of as a lake of fire in Revelation 20:13. In this place, they can learn two things. In Revelation, we can learn two things, that death and hell will deliver up the dead in them, and death and hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire. So they could not be the same place. Will anyone but the devil and his angels go to that lake of fire? Yes. Those who are the sons of perdition, those who have denied the Holy Ghost. Christ had saved them once because they knew. But they denied him. After that, he will not save them a second time. Will everyone suffer the same amount that does go to hell? I think not. I think it'll depend on the individual. I think it'll depend on how they have lived their lives. I hope I've not offended anyone. I invite you to study out the matter, and I thank you.
Thank you, Brother Ron.